Sometimes I'm sad that we preachers make it boring, but God is. God wants His Word to be alive and living. Would you say amen? Sometimes God uses boring preachers so that you can find God's Word yourself. Sometimes God just wants you to go and dig deep. You know what? If the only thing you would learn about God is through the preacher, you would go, it would be fairly shallow. Because God wants to dig deep into His Word for ourselves. Would you say amen? I mean, sometimes, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but sometimes if all that we get in the teaching of God's Word comes through a preacher, it is pre-digested food given to you. I mean, is that true? I mean, somebody else has gone through a digestion process, and somebody else has learned the Word of God, and he's vomiting it out and giving it to you. But you know what? No, don't reject that. That's important. But you know, that's one step. But you know, it's powerful when you and I grow deep and say, we sincerely desire God's Word for ourselves. Would you say amen? And what a church, what the preachers and what God's ministry is supposed to do is to build up that appetite for spiritual things. Would you say amen? And we come to church and we come to listen to God's Word. We come for Bible studies. God is developing in us an appetite for more of Him. God trains us and builds us up so that we can in turn take this word and give it to someone else. Would you say amen? Bible says, as children, sincerely crave for the sincere milk of God's word. There's something that we need to receive. Let's get it and let's share it with somebody else. Would you say a good amen? Hold on to your Bible. Let's say this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am about to receive the unchanging, uncompromising, eternal Word of God. I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I want to read one last verse from 21. And then I want to read the rest of chapter 4 until verse 16. And we'll see how much we can cover this morning. Let's read it together if you've got a Bible. If you've got a New King James Version, read it louder. And Ephesians 4, 21 onwards. It says, Ephesians 3, verse 21, into chapter 4. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first ascended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Jesus, I'm asking you, God, that your word will go forth with clarity, I pray, direct our minds and our thoughts to focus upon your word. We pray for an understanding that we will not just be hearers, but we will be doers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking in the last week, we've been talking about getting a revelation of the love of God. So how many of you have been praying that? How many of you have prayed the Ephesians prayer for somebody else? Hallelujah. Praise God, we are getting there. 10 of us. And I want to remind you again, if you haven't done that, I want to sincerely just recommend or challenge you. Ephesians 3:14 to 20 is a beautiful prayer. You just take that prayer. You don't know how to pray, just remember. If you remembered somebody in church this week, and just remember them. I told you, I remember the person who sits on your left and your right. And just remember who they are and just pray this prayer for them. Say, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the family in heaven and earth, that he would grant Chuai, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in Chuai's heart through faith, that Chuai being rooted and grounded. So just insert their name in and pray for them. And you know what? That will be a beautiful gift you can give them. Someone say amen. So pray for them and pray. Remember somebody and use this prayer. Because God wants to give us a revelation of how much he loves us. Amen. If we can see this, I've been thinking about this whole week. And it's beautiful if we can get a grasp of how much the Lord loves us. Beautiful. Somebody say amen. Amen. We move on today to Ephesians 3. And I want to look from verse 21. This week, we had the passing away of Steve Jobs. And that's sad. Now, some of you who are well in tune with the internet knew that there was a Westboro Baptist Church. We have no association with them. But what they do is, every time there is a high-profile funeral, they get their little, they call it pickets, and they have a little stick there with some banner statement there, some very nasty statement, things like, God hates sin, the sinner will die. It's really unchristian kind of behavior. And what they do is, they go and they find every kind of site, and they find that, and they try to make a scene. Of course, they think they're doing God a favor. I don't think the Lord enjoys that. I don't believe that's something that he wants them to do, but that's what they do. Nonetheless, we have no association with them. We have nothing to do with them. But there's an interesting thing, and their little note this week about why they're going to picket Steve Jobs' funeral was this statement, and they said, Steve Jobs did tremendous things in the world. And of course, they sent that note through iPad or iPhone or something like that. But he failed to give God glory, and so we want to make a scene out of it. I thought about this for a little bit, and what they were going to do is really bad and not correct. Not correct at all. But the truth of the matter, sometimes, you know, truth can be there even when people do silly things. Yes. The truth of the matter is that many, many, many great people fail to acknowledge that God is the ultimate source of what they've been able to do. Somebody sent me a note this week and said the man who made the iPad, the iPhone, the iTunes is going to have to stand up to the I am. And it's so true that all of us one day have to stand before the I am. And when you stand before the I am is going to ask you, how much have you done things to glorify me or glorify yourself? We are here to glorify God. Would you say amen? I pray that every single person here in our church, when God raises you up to be somebody, whatever, whether you're somebody or not somebody, all of us are somebody in Christ. Would you say amen? And God raised up to be a blessing, and some of us will get a little bit more prominence than others. Wherever you are, that you would do whatever you can to let people know about Jesus. Give God glory for what God has placed you or blessed you with. Would you say amen? Never fail to do that, because that's the source. God has raised us up for that one purpose, so that people will know, hey, that person, he's a Christian. He does not cover that up. He does not say, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. He makes it very clear. I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus Christ. And when people know that that blessing, your capability, your ability comes because of Jesus. Someone say, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, Lord, to him be glory in the church by Jesus. God cares that his name gets glorified, because God is the thing The whole universe is revolving around God. Would you say amen? He is the ultimate thing. And so he's the only rightful person who can say, I deserve all glory, and I want people to understand that I am the sole one, the only one to be glorified. Would you say amen? And so we do that as believers. We seek to glorify the Lord. And so Paul here, in chapter 4, verse 1, he starts off, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He mentions this in chapter 3. He starts off, says, I, a prisoner of the Lord. And I mentioned that as being very significant because Paul realizes that he's not a prisoner. He doesn't claim his prison sentence to the glory of Rome. Now, Rome and Nero were the ones keeping him in that horrible dungeon. They were the ones. But he says, ultimately, the only person who is holding me in this life is Jesus Christ. I ultimately realize that the only person who is holding me together is the Lord. Would you say amen? And whatever else trial that I go through, they don't determine my life. They don't determine my attitude. They don't determine my service with God. I recognize that if I am in a trial, that God has put me in that trial. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm ultimately a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm there to fulfill a purpose which God wants me to fulfill. Someone say amen. I think about that. I mean, Paul, just like, I mean, if you don't get Paul to sit down in a little space and have nothing else that he can possibly do but put a pen and write something, Paul may never have carved out or wrote out those wonderful epistles he wrote in prison. A good number of the epistles that we read today come from prison. They were written by Paul in prison. And I can't think about the fact that Paul would have carved out time in his normal schedule to write an epistle, write a letter. There was no reason for that because he could just teach people. And that's what he wanted to do. And that was his passion. So writing takes some kind of, you need to have some solitary confinement. And that was, I mean, God used that ultimately. So today you and I can read the precious words of life. Someone say amen. The great truths of God can be shared with people from generation to generation through a man who was living his last years in prison. Someone say amen. Says, I therefore prisoner of the Lord. And I thought when you write as a prisoner, in Rome, there is one truth and possibility, unlike our current court systems, which are humane, which give us notice, there are lots of wrangling and court proceedings that keep going on in the back. In Rome, when the emperor suddenly decided to have you killed, he would just do that, just like that. He could have your head chopped off right there and then. I mean, it was not something, there was no real long process he needed to keep to. The emperor had all kinds of power. And so, every day when Paul is in prison, he realizes that this could be his last day. And he lives with that understanding. And so, when you read the words of somebody who is writing their words, when they say, I'm a prisoner, I realize I'm going to die soon, then you better take their words very carefully or very heavily, because what they say is very important. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called. God has given a calling. Paul recognized that. Paul realized that he had a calling. God had given him a calling. God had called him for a purpose. And Paul wants every other believer from then till today to understand that you have a calling in your life. And God says, walk worthy of your calling. Would you say amen? God calls us to walk worthy of the calling which we have. Now, if you go back to chapter 3, remember that Paul says that all of us are named after Jesus Christ. As believers, you've got a name, whatever your name is. Sister Ivy, Ivy Christ, or Ivy Jesus, something like that. That's really, that should be a new name, taking our IC or something like that. Change it. But every name we have, I mean, really, we are, our family name as believers, we have moved from Lim and Tan and Matthew or whatever else. We ultimately take the name Jesus. Or Christ, or some derivative of that. We are called a Christian. And so in the same way, I mean, I don't want my children, I mean, that name Matthew, Benjamin Matthew, Zachary Matthew, we don't want them to shame that name Matthew. That name is very important. We don't want them to shame that name. The same way, none of us want to shame the name Jesus. None of us want to shame the call, the term Christian, which is attached to us. Would you say amen? And so we want to walk worthy of the calling to which we have been called. God has given a calling to every single person here. And some of us know a specific calling in our life. We know that God has called me to do this. Maybe you get a revelation. I was listening to somebody preaching and he was talking about calling and God gave him a vision. He was deep in the spirit and several hours and just God was speaking and finally God said, I'm calling you to be a pilot. I'm calling you to be a pilot. You think that when you sit down in the presence of God and you're deep in the spirit and God speaks to you for a few hours, God's call must be, I want to send you to Africa. I want you to do a fivefold ministry. God says, I'm calling you to fly planes. So God's call can be as basic as that. But you know what? The ultimate thing here is all of us, without exception, and you don't have to hear a voice telling you that, but all of us are called to be Christians. Would you say amen? To be Christ followers. To be a living testimony of Jesus. To show the world what Jesus Christ is like. And you can accomplish that whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student, whether you're a salesperson. Every single one of us can accomplish that by showing the virtues of Jesus where we are. If you agree with it, say a good amen. So he says, walk worthy of the calling by which you are called. And I want to remind you again from chapter 3, Paul has kept emphasizing, Paul continually emphasizes the fact that our calling is intricately connected with the church of Jesus Christ. Say amen. You can look through all that verses preceding that. And Paul talks about the great mystery, the fact that God has called a church. God has called the people. He will continue to discuss that. And so Paul wants to remind us that we are called as Christians. And we are called, our call is intricately connected with being part of the church of Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? Now the church of Jesus Christ is beyond, bigger than this church. Would you say amen? This church is just a local expression of God's great church. And God's great church knows no boundary, knows no limit. It's all over. It's the entire world. God has called his people to himself. Amen. It goes on. And so God has called us. And so one way that we are called to glorify God is to live out our calling as Christians. How do you glorify God? You live out your call as a Christian. You realize what God has called you for and you live out that call. Would you say amen? And more important than any other call in your life, whether you're called to be a pilot, an astronaut, a teacher, a banker, whatever God has called you, no call is greater than a call to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to help people to know the value of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. It goes on. And so first thing was that God wants us to glorify him through walking worthy of a calling. Number two, God wants us to glorify him through our godly character. If you agree with it, say amen. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. God wants us to glorify him through our character. There is something about Christians and their character which God puts a great premium on. Today, I think our world, the education world, is realizing the importance, at least our local system is realizing, more than just helping people to ace and remember and study very hard and memorize every formula they can possibly memorize. They also think it's important to have good character development. Great. But in Scripture, this idea, and in the corporate world, sometimes I don't know whether that always happens, because character sometimes, only character of determination and hard work seems to ever be greatly acclaimed. But God calls us to show Christian Christ-like character. Would you say amen? It starts off, I just want to mention a couple of those things. Number one, humility. Humility is not a character which people treasure. In fact, from what I've been told, some children's books to skip humility as one of the virtues of a good growing person. In the days when Paul was writing to the Ephesian believers, the Roman Empire had no concept of the idea of humility as a good character or as a part of a good virtue. They didn't see it. Because as far as they're concerned, humility was the stuff that was done by slaves and people who are low down, not for citizens, not for people who are great and important and powerful. They don't have to show humility. And today, even in our world today, if you think about, what people are praised sometimes, especially in the big corporate circles, is always about people who are ruthless and who are tough and who are firm, who can get the job done. People who can make a product fly. That's what's most important. But God says here, I'm putting a special virtue. You can glorify me by showing humility. Would you say amen? And Jesus demonstrated that without a question. He showed the fact. You can see humility, some translations put it as lowliness. It's not about you every day saying and beating yourself and says, I'm the most useless human being. I'm a worm and lower than a worm. I'm a phytoplankton or something like that. I'm some plankton. No, I mean, it's not that. That's not about lowliness. Would you say amen? In fact, when you say that, you are insulting God who made you after his own image. Would you say amen? There is no premium of going around putting your head down and saying, I'm a useless person. That is not. In fact, when people, I hate to say that, sometimes when people go around and they keep moping about themselves as being useless and all that, they're hoping somebody will come up and praise them and turn it around a little bit more. And so, I mean, it can be self-seeking sometimes. That's not the point. But lowliness, God is calling, I mean, when you think about Jesus, you can see lowliness in the fact that how you react when you are opposed. When you're being opposed, how you react shows whether you choose humility or you choose the aspect of pride. Pride always fights back. It always shows, it fights back in very, very arrogant, very hard ways. Jesus didn't do that. If you agree with me, say amen. When they said the most terrible things about him, the Bible says he was meek. He chose not to fight. I mean, he had made his point, he had made it very clear. He says, this is what you say I am, and I have confirmed that, full stop. And after that, he does not take that fight on. They said all kinds of things. They said that he was born out of wedlock. They said all kinds of things about his mother and father. They said all kinds of very nasty things. But Jesus did not fight in that sense. Now today, sometimes people say, well, as Christian, does it mean that I don't assert myself? I just take whatever people do when they come up and slap me, and I say, just go ahead, slap me some more. It's all right. Is that the kind of posture that we as Christians should adopt? I don't think that's exactly what the Lord wants. But you know what? The attitude, the spirit that always wants to fight and get our rights together and feel justified may not be from the Lord. It is not the character of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shows a character of humility when he begins to leave all things to God's eternal justice. Our human flesh wants to fight back. Our human flesh says things. When people do bad things at us, we say, I hope that they die. I hope that this thing happens to them. I hope they have a tragedy. I hope that one day they come begging for my forgiveness. That's what our human self, I mean, how many of you feel that? No, not maybe. I feel that sometimes. And I know that's that part of my humanness. And that desire for revenge, that desire to get something back, that's part of our nature, our human nature, which God wants us to crucify. Would you say amen? So God wants to give us, as we look at him, God wants to give us an ability to be humble and say, I don't have to fight back. I don't have to revenge. I can be gentle in him. Would you say amen? I can state my case. I can say, this is not acceptable. I don't believe this should be how I am treated, but I'm not going to take something and scream them their head off and try to assert my power and my authority. Because I realize I've got no authority and no power except what the Lord gives. And of course, if the Lord tells you to stand up and scream and shout, please do that. Would you say amen? There was a time when Jesus went to the temple and he took out a whip and he beat people out because they were doing the wrong thing. Now the Lord inspired him to do that. He was inspired. He did that and that was completely fine. And you know what? If sometimes there is holy anger which comes upon you, if it's from the Lord, that is great. But the truth of the matter, many times we have to, it's not holy. It is not holy. When the words come out of your mouth and you say words which you should not repeat here in church, it's not holy. Someone say amen. Praise God. It says with lowliness and gentleness and long suffering. The word patience there. Another great virtue which God wants all of us to have. Patience. I heard about somebody talking about teaching a Bible study to someone for 18 years every Sunday. And he's happy that man after 18 years was coming to have a revelation of Jesus Christ. How about that? Patience. Did the Lord call you to do that? Don't think the Lord is calling me for that kind of stuff, but. Whoa, 18 years. Long suffering. How long do I have to bear? And Moses, that's a thing that Moses had to go through when Moses was looking at the people of Israel. He had a long time with them. And after a while, he says, how much longer do I have to bear with you? You stiff-necked people who just continue to refuse after God does all those great things. Long-suffering. Sometimes we are being stretched and stretched and stretched and stretched. But just said, the Bible says, God will not put us beyond what we can bear. So if you can still survive, God still wants to give some more grace for you to be long-suffering. Somebody say amen. And, we realize we are called to be long-suffering where we have to bear with one another in love. How many of you bear with somebody? You're bearing somebody who sits next to you and says, I just have to survive sitting right next to him today. We had a bear. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody in your family and you just say, I have to survive. They are part of my family. I have to bear with them. That's the call. That is part of being Christ-like. God bears with each one of us. Would you say amen? Can you think about it? God has been bearing with a human race as evil, as sinful, as terrible, as wicked, as never seeking God. How many of you can really, stand up and rightfully or boastfully or clearly or sincerely say that, I know all my thoughts are sincerely desiring God. My thoughts are focused on Him. None of us can, because our desire very often is ourselves, and what we choose is important. We hardly think about God. We hardly think about His ways. We hardly think what it just want me to do in this situation. We hardly think about that. But God still bears with us. God still bears with us when we are so sinful and we follow all kinds of other things, and we don't follow God. We give glory not to God, but ourselves. God still bears with us. Would you say amen? Then there's somebody that says, God still bears with me. And then there's them that says, God still bears with you. And they should turn around and they say, I am also bearing with you. Bearing with one another. That's part of that Christ-like character that God wants to give each one of us. We glorify God by demonstrating that Christ-like character that is like Jesus. Would you say amen? So important. It's part of how God wants us to glorify. People know we are Christians based on the character that we show. You hear it countless times. When you've got a bad attitude, a bad character, somebody is bound to talk about that Christian that I thought he's called a Christian, but look at the way he does things. But you've heard that many times. Haven't you heard that? Because people in the world, they recognize Christians are called to a higher standard. Now, sometimes they take advantage of that, they laugh at that, but the truth of the matter is, you are called to be a Christian, and there's a character which comes as being a Christian. Would you say amen? And remember, we can never do it through our own strength. We need the grace of God to help us. It's as we behold Jesus, as we look at His love for us, God continually transforms us to be an image, a replica of Him in this world. Someone say amen. Verse 3, verse 4, and Paul now talking about bearing with one another in love. And he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. God cares about His body. Would you say amen? God cares about His church. He cares about His church so much, and He put you in His church. He made it part of your family. Everybody who is part of the body of believers, God is transforming them and making them fit into that perfect building which He is making. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, that's what God is doing for each one of us. And God is making sure that in our experience as the church, God will use each one of us to help each other become more like Christ. Would you say amen? You and I have that wonderful privilege of helping your brother and sister become more like Jesus. When you become angry at them, they can learn to take your anger. I was saying that. Some of us are God's gift to other people. We make their life so difficult so that they grow patience and endurance and all the right character of God. Hallelujah. But God cares about his body. God cares about the unity of the spirit in the body. Would you say amen? I think about the birth of the church in the book of Acts. And when the church was first born in the book of Acts, it came from a period of great unity. The Bible says they were all together gathered in that small little room, the upper room, somewhere up in that temple area. There's a small little room there, and they all gathered there, 120 of them, and they were all, the heat was there, and they were all there praying in unity. If we put 120 of us in that small little room without air conditioning, it's hot every day, and we have to bear with each other's smells, and we have to go through that experience with them. But then they still persisted to be united, and the church was born in a state of unity. Would you say amen? God's spirit moved. God came. Pentecost came when the church was united. And so Paul realizes that the greatest, I mean, it is powerful when the church is united, then God's spirit can move in an unprecedented way. Would you say amen? So he says, endeavoring to keep the unity, the spirit, and the bond of peace. We care. We endeavor. The Bible says we endeavor to keep the bond of the body of Christ. Keep the peace of the people of God. Because we realize there is one body. Would you say amen? The church of God is one body. It's not meant to be splintered, factioned, broken up into pieces. That one God has one church. We believe in one God. Would you say amen? We care about that. We care about the revelation. God is one. He's absolutely one. He's not two. He's not three. He's no division of persons. He's God. Absolutely one God. And that God calls one body. His church. And he wants his church to be united together in him. So all of our little expressions of the local bodies of Christ, all of our churches, which follow what the Lord says, what the Bible says, we are united together in the bond of peace. Would you say amen? And so God calls us to care about the body being united. So when we find a chance where the enemy kind of whispers in our ear to take down somebody in the church and try to say all kinds of nasty things to them, have a little coffee shop table discussion and say, you know what, this brother, we should just beat him up because he's a horrible person. And I'm glad in this church we don't have that kind of discussions. Would you say amen? There'll definitely be some good believer there who would first punch them out first and then take care of the situation. That attempt to try to put down people, say all kinds of bad things about them, that's not from the Lord. Would you say amen? Now, there are times that we have to discuss there are situations and there's a need for understanding and for us to pray. Some situations are very apparent. People want to talk about that. But the more main thing about it is we talk to pray and ask God for grace and favor. And we realize that as we talk and think about people who are not doing so well, that we want to be careful about ourselves. Would you say amen? We care about that because the Bible says, lest you think you stand, watch out because you can fall. Someone say amen. And it's sad sometimes when our brothers and our sisters are not doing well. And God has called us to stand in the gap to pray for them. To see that perhaps the Lord will give them grace to get back and see things in the correct direction. Would you say amen? So God cares for us to keep the peace of the body. Do whatever we can to try to bring it. So if you're part of that and you know, you've got a brother or sister or somebody who's got a hard time and not happy with somebody and they're sharing with that, and then do what you can to help them to direct that into prayer. And praying for God to do his work. And do what is positive. The Bible tells us a lot of things. If you've got something against somebody else, then you need to go up to them and speak to them and discuss that. There are biblical methods in handling our conflicts. Would you say amen? And we don't want to be recording in time. You know, in the book of Philippians, Paul writes a letter and he inserts the name of two women, Euodia and Syntyche, and he says, the rest of you church, try to help these two women get along with each other. I mean, they are remembered for the rest of church history as being the two women that Paul had to write the whole epistle. He had to write, I want you, church, please help. These two women are not getting along with each other. Help them to reconcile. When Eudia and Syntyche finally saw that piece, read out, it must have been something that the apostle, that was something that bothered him. Paul's in prison writing Philippians and he thinks about these two women. From what we understand from church history, these two women are prominent women. They were women who had some influence. And Paul is writing, says, would you please help these women get along with each other? Paul, it was important because a body had to be one. God wants a body to be one. Would you say amen? So we all do well. We care about this body. We care about this church. We care about the local expression of God's body. We want to do all we can to build unity and not division. Would you say amen? So do all you can to help your brother and your sister in their weakness. You know, part of helping your brother and sister in their weakness, you know, your brother has a big hole on their shirt and they can't see it. You don't do well just to keep quiet. You do well to go up to them privately and tell them that, hey, I bought an extra shirt for you. Would you want to wear it so you don't go around with your body being exposed? I mean, that's a fact. You do well when you know that there's a gaping hole in somebody's life and it's going to cause more offense and pain and problem. You do well to let them know in a Christian, godly way in love and say, hey, there is something there. If you can do something here, I've got some. I'm praying for you. I'm giving you some tools. I've got a book to help you to shave your face properly and not eat the wrong thing and burp in people's face. I've got these things for you. They've got special mouth refreshener. It can help you. And woe to us if we get offended and we say, forget it, I hate this church because they're helping me to become better. Sad if when people come up to us in love and they point at some area in our life which could help us to be better and we are offended and we say, forget it, these people want to come against me, I want to get out. We're sad because we're losing a wonderful opportunity to become more like Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So God cares about the body. That God cares that this body will be in one. I think about this week, I was thinking about the body and how much, I mean, the body. And that's why Paul, another passage, you can find that passage, he says, make sure you do good, especially to those in the household of faith. That was a kind of, it was like a ranking of priority. It's important to do things which are good for our community. We care about our community. Somebody say amen? We care about people who do not know the Lord. Some churches, their philosophy is, I mean, all of us are going to go to heaven, so forget it. In heaven, we can take care of all the pains and wounds and all that. In this world, what we need to do is grow and increase and touch somebody's life. I respect that to some extent, there's some important ideas there. But yet, at the same time, the Bible makes it very clear that if you care, we care first for the household of faith. That's what the Bible says. We care for the household of faith. And you know what? Household of faith are people within the church. People who are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if you see them without money, without food, with difficulty, with emotionally broken down, and you say, you know what? Forget about this person because there are a whole bunch of other people outside who have not, I mean, who maybe sometimes may be more appreciative. That's what goes through our mind, right? The brother in church may not be appreciative, but people outside will be very, very appreciative of my help. Let me help them, and this brother let somebody else take care of them. I'll let them take care of themselves. God wants us to care for the household of faith first. Would you say amen? I don't mean that we be insular, we just think about ourselves, that's not the point. But you know what, sometimes we neglect that. Sometimes we forget that within the body there are those who are hurting. Within the body there are those with need. Within the body there is someone who needs an encouraging word. And you and I in the church can be part of that solution. Would you say amen? How would it be like if every week, just once in a week, every one of us in church could say, how can I do some good to somebody in this church? And you pray and say, God, reveal someone to me. And that may be the first time you heard God speak to you. Because I am sure, without a shadow of doubt, God will pop someone's name in your mind. Or someday, that day you will meet someone or you hear something about somebody in church who needs help. You'd hear something about that, and the Lord can gently prompt you to be a blessing to that person. Would you say amen? God can help us to be a blessing. Think about it. Think about if all of us could just think once every week, how can I do good to someone? God has loved me so much. God has blessed me. How can I do a good thing to someone in the body of Christ? And some of you, it may be hard to do it every day, but just think about it once a week. And it would be beautiful. Maybe just on Sunday, you just ask God, Lord, how can I this coming week do something good for someone in the body of Christ? Someone say amen. Praise God. The rest of the chapter, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to be teaching that another week. It's about glorifying God. We talk about glorifying God by living out our calling, glorify God in our character. And thirdly, glorify God through the giftings which God has given us. God has given all of us giftings. Would you say amen? God has made us stewards of His blessing. And so God wants each one of us to glorify God with the gifts He has given us. Would you say amen? Those gifts which God has deposited in your life are not for your personal consumption. They are meant to bless the body. Would you say amen? Sometimes we think that all the talents, all the great things are just meant to help us to become wealthy, healthy, and wise. God's gone beyond that. God wants us to use those things for His glory, for His purpose, for His kingdom's sake. That's why God has put it into your life. Would you say amen? We stand if we want to look to the Lord and put a Sunny, would you help me on the keyboard? Hallelujah. God has called each one of us.